Austin, Texas is one of the fastest-growing communities in the United States. It's also a national cultural center, the home of the South by Southwest Conference. It's more than a conference. You can hear the most contemporary music along with lectures on the sustainability of climate and urban culture. But Austin isn't just listening. It's doing things to confront climate change. 2016 was the warmest year on record since modern record-keeping began in 1880. In Austin, KUT reporter Mose Bushell says this city of bike paths and Formula One racers is looking for ways to cool things down.
When you think of Austin, you probably think about what? Music? Breakfast tacos? Maybe the state capitol? What about the heat?
It's too darn hot.
After all, it is Texas, so Austin gets really, really hot.
I can't go outside without, I mean, I hive up. I have an allergy to the sun, so I'm particularly sensitive to it.
That's Leah Haney, and her aversion to the sun is unfortunate because of what she does for work. She's an environmental program coordinator with the city of Austin.
You really are allergic to the sun?
I really am. It's really embarrassing. But I love Austin, so I stay.
Some years, the heat is worse than others, but on average, Haney says, climate change means it's going to get worse, and our cities may not be prepared.
Cities are just natural heat pockets. We're heat sinks, you know, and it's really not conducive to the human condition.
She says cities can be around 5 degrees hotter in the day and over 20 degrees hotter at night than surrounding countryside.
It's something special that happens in an urban environment when you have a lot of built man-made materials.
This is called the heat island effect. And Austin is trying to dig its way out.
What we're looking at right now is a tree planting that's about to start.
Emily King is with the city's urban forestry department. On a recent spring day, she watched volunteers unload shovels and start digging holes next to a community college parking lot. She says every year, the city distributes 4,200 trees to residents for the specific purpose of combating urban heat.
And when trees have enough room to grow and they're healthy, they do this amazing thing where they actually cause the air around them to be cooler through a process called evapotranspiration.
This is separate from the benefits of shade, and it can drop the temperature around a tree by up to 9 degrees. In Austin, they even use satellite images to look for bald spots in the urban canopy where more trees can go.
The whole impetus behind this program and this funding is just that, to help cool Austin, to help shade it and help cool it.
And Austin's not the only place giving it a shot.
At the moment, I'm looking out a window at some beautiful trees. It's always a nice reminder that there's more to life than sitting at your desk, isn't it?
This is Kathy Oak. She's a city council member in Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne's taken the battle against heat farther than almost any other city.
The research shows for every 10 to 15% increased canopy cover, you can reduce the urban temperature by up to 5 degrees Celsius.
That's 9 degrees Fahrenheit.
So we have a target to double our canopy cover.
But there's a problem in Melbourne and in Austin. Year by year, trees are dying faster than they can be replaced. Some of it's because of construction, some of it's because of old age, and some of it's drought. And in some cases, it's because new invasive trees are taking over native species.
I should have waited for a weed wrench to pull that up. See that root system?
I'm walking through a park with volunteer Cliff Tillich as he removes invasive ligustrum trees and replaces them with native saplings. The thing is, it's hard to tell the difference.
This one? That's one of the saplings we planted.
Oh my gosh, I just pulled up a native plant.
But
can you put it back in?
Yes, I can put it back in.
Cliff is no fan of invasives, but they are resilient. That's why they're invasive. There are places in this forest where they survived a devastating drought that killed thousands of local trees. And he leads me to one of them.
The tree we see leaning there is a pecan. It did die in the drought. Ligustrums all around it. And that looks to me like it was the escarpment black cherry that was standing in this area and died in the drought, with the ligustrums around it doing just fine.
Again, it's just a real illustration of how these trees that have evolved to survive this harsh weather, they fell victim to the drought, but some of the invasives actually made it.
Yeah.
It also demands a question. If the city is planting trees to prepare for Austin's hotter future, should some of these exotic species, the very plants that seem so resilient in the dryness and heat, be included in that plan?
That is a loaded question in tree circles, actually.
Again, City of Austin's Emily King.
Depending on who you ask, you're going to get a different answer to what should we be doing with this.
Ask Kathy Oak down in Melbourne. She says the city is planting a mix of native and exotic species. Ask Meg Inglis, you get a different answer.
Me, I would hedge my bets with natives.
Inglis is with the Texas Native Plant Society. She says a lot of introduced species are just too destructive. They starve out local wildlife, suck up too much water, generally turn ecosystems on their heads.
If the ecosystem collapses, then we lose our services, the ecosystem services that are provided to us, like sequestering of carbon, providing oxygen, putting more water into the aquifer.
But what if the ecosystem is already changing? Since we don't know exactly how hot, dry, or flood-prone climate change will make us, does it make sense to hedge our bets by bringing in some outside trees? Emily King with the City of Austin says that's what the city does.
I don't think that we can be overly picky with where exactly something originated if our end goal is to really make sure that Austin remains livable. And to be livable, we do need to try to reduce the heat that we're experiencing.
A lot of this is just a question of how you define native. Is it a plant from a bit south of here that's now spreading in? An introduced tree that's been here for centuries? As for Cliff Tillich, the guy in the park, he prefers natives, but he says within that range you can find a lot of things to plant.
A nice thing about this particular replanting program is that they're planting lots of different species, and the ones that do well in the conditions we wind up having over the next 5, 10, 15 years are the ones that will thrive.
It's like a laboratory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So should we walk and see more of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
He also says he knows the land he's working will never return to the way it was 100 years ago, before people moved in and things started getting hotter. For The Takeaway, I'm Mose Bouchel in Austin.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.